You know, if you were here last week, you heard Pastor Steve preach about the idea that we are children of God. And so it's so appropriate to kind of follow that up this week, it being Father's Day and everything, with focusing a little bit on, okay, well, if we're children of God, then how are the children of God kind of supposed to treat each other? You know, how do we treat each other as brothers and sisters? If we're all in the family of God now, we're children, how do we treat each other as brothers and sisters? And so we're gonna look at that a little bit this morning. So if you are in 1 John chapter 3, great. If not, that's okay, because it'll be up on the screen as well. It's already there. Hopefully you're not ahead of me. I haven't started reading it yet. Don't get ahead of me. All right, so let's read 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 11 through chapter 4, verse 6. It says this: "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers." Brothers and sisters is what it means. "Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us," that being Jesus, "and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So this morning we're going to kind of focus in on even more so this idea of what it talks about right away in verse 11. And John essentially is going to kind of encourage us in this passage to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, but that can only happen if we have hearts that are open. Easier said than done, though, because the world sends a different message. But we can remain encouraged because we have the grace and power of God over us and in us through the Holy Spirit. So very simply put, as we get into this, God says, and John says here, open up your heart. The world says, keep your heart closed. So let's just kind of go through this. We're going to go through this somewhat verse by verse to just see how this all plays out here, to see what John is talking to us about. And You know, again, if you've been with us the last several weeks and have heard these messages on the book of 1 John, when he says in verse 11, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another," this is something that you recognize already. Do you think that John is trying to, like, get a point across here? Yes. I mean, this has been said many times already, and it will continue to be said. And so, you know, it's easy to kind of say, okay, well, we've heard that one before. And so, like, what else? Like, let's move on to something else. Let's focus on something else. Well, but if John says this over and over again, if John uses this kind of repetition, then we should probably focus on it continually also. It's that important for John to do this. And he says this isn't something, this is the message that you have heard from the beginning. So he says this is not something new. And just in case you're curious about what he means by the beginning, he means, like, the beginning. Because he says in verse 12, we should not be like Cain, right? Cain and Abel, those two brothers way back in the beginning of sons of Adam and Eve. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. So John, for whatever reason, because it's that important, is focusing on something that he knows that the believers that he is writing to, remember, he's writing to followers of Jesus, he knows that they have heard this before. They've heard it even from him before. They've heard it from many other teachers and writers and all that. They've heard it before. Remember, John, he's old now, so he's writing to these believers. They've heard all of this. And yet he feels like it is that important that he wants to hone in on it again. He wants to drive the point home again. And so if we are wanting to be faithful to the scriptures this morning, if I want to be faithful to the scriptures, then I can't shy away from what he's talking about here. And even if it feels or seems a little redundant, like, oh, okay, because John seems to feel like that's okay. And so we're focusing in on that this morning. And when we talk about this idea of an open heart and a closed heart, you'll be able to now kind of look at this passage and you'll be able to see the closed heart idea, even if it's not explicit, you'll be able to see it pop up here and here and here. And the open heart, you'll see it pop up here and here and here, and you'll be able to compare and contrast the two. So for instance, I mean, in verse 12, was Cain's heart open or closed?
Closed.
You can say it. We're going to interact a little bit. We're going to have some dialogue. It was closed, right? It was a rhetorical question, right? That's probably why you didn't answer. I'll give you that one. But next time you can actually speak back to me, right? Cain's heart was closed. His heart was not open. What did a closed heart result in? It resulted in hatred and in death. It resulted in taking the life of another. It resulted in taking the life of his brother. And so if we see right off the bat that a closed heart, that's what that results in. It results in hatred. It results in literal murder. It results in kind of taking the life of another. Then John in verse 13 says, like, because of that, don't be surprised, brothers. Remember, he's talking to believers in Jesus. Don't be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. The world hates you. Okay, so Does the world's hate indicate an open heart or a closed heart? Closed, yes, thank you, good. Right, closed, why? Because the people that John is writing to and we who are followers of Jesus, we are different, right? We talked a couple of weeks ago that we get to be different. We get to be different than the world. We are different than the world. Why? We have found something better. We found something better than the world. And the world, like, doesn't really like that. The world, meaning here, kind of systems that are opposed to God and his purposes. Right? So the world doesn't like the fact that we have found something better. Because again, the world is sending a certain message. And we're receiving a different message from God and from God through John here. Verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Does hatred of a brother and being a murderer indicate an open heart or a closed heart? Closed, yes. Again, when we have a closed heart, when we have this hatred, it results in us taking the life of another. We've talked a lot about the closed heart at the beginning. Don't worry, we'll get to kind of the open heart aspect of this. Verse 16 says this, by this we know love, that he, being Jesus, laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. That's refreshing right there. Because does that indicate the love that's talked about here, the fact that Jesus laid down his life, does that indicate an open heart or a closed heart? Open. Yes. Open. Don't miss what having an open heart means here. This is how we know love. That instead, remember, a closed heart a lot of times indicates that we are kind of taking the life of another. It's the hatred, it's the murder, right? We're taking the life of another. Look at what it means to have an open heart. He laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. He didn't take someone else's life. He laid down his own life. And that idea of life here, I mean, we know, if we know what Jesus did, then we know that he physically laid down his life. We know that he sacrificed his life physically. But this word for life here actually also means he laid down his inner self. He kind of laid himself bare. He opened up his heart towards us. He laid down his life. He laid down his inner self. He laid down his heart. Jesus is obviously like the perfect epitome, the example of what it means to have an open heart and the result of having an open heart, laying down his life. And so John says that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives, right? Our inner self. We ought to lay down our heart. We ought to open up our heart to brothers and sisters, to our brothers and sisters, right? And so that means instead of like taking a life, we are laying down our life. We're giving life. We're giving of our inner self. It's really like it's actually easy to kind of picture this, right? If you think about your heart and kind of opening yourself up, right? If you're opening up your heart, I mean, you're like, you know, you're kind of like this. You're ready to like lay yourself down. You're ready to receive, right? But if you're closing, like even just physically, like if you close yourself off, right? Like you can see that, you can sense that, you can feel that, you can remember when you have felt that way towards another. You can remember when you have felt like you were just closing yourself off. You weren't opening yourself up. You can remember how it felt when someone did that to you, when someone just closed their heart against you. Someone closed their heart against you, and how much that hurt, right? Verse 17, John says, if anyone has the world's good, so like as we lay down our lives for the brothers, just like Jesus laid down his life, his inner self, his heart, opened up his heart to us, John says, so if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? It doesn't. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, yeah, I'm a follower. The love of God abides in me. while at the same time closing yourself, closing your heart against brothers and sisters, against fellow children of God. You can't do it. You can't have both. And this idea of closing our heart, actually, like that word closes means like shut or lock or shut one's bowels. That's one of the meanings of that word, right? Shutting one's bowels. It means to be void of compassion. It means to be hard-hearted. That's what closing our heart means, to shut, to lock, to be void of compassion, to be hard-hearted against a brother. Then if that's the way we are, then we are what? Essentially, like, taking their life. When we close ourselves, when we shut, when we lock our heart, when we lock ourselves down, our inner selves, we are essentially taking the life of another. And if you know, kind of, again, like, it feels like when you close yourself off, when you envision, imagine, when you feel what it feels like to kind of be locked up, to be all locked up, you're not only like taking the life of another in that posture, you're taking your own life as well, right? I mean, you know what it feels like to just feel like all locked up, to feel all closed, to feel all hard-hearted, right? It's like dying. It's like dying inside. So you're not only taking the life of another, you're also essentially taking your own life as well. Verse 18. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Having an open heart towards our brothers and sisters, laying our lives down, our inner selves, opening up our hearts, it leads to taking care of each other. It leads to taking care of each other. That's what that open heart means. It means to not only just lay down our lives, but to give life to another, to give life to our brothers and sisters. And that means to truly take care of each other. It's not just, you know, he says, not just in word or talk. Like, it's easy to talk about that. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, like, we need to take care of so-and-so, or, oh, yeah, like, I have a heart to take care of this, or I know this person is in need, and all of that, right? It's easy to talk about. It's much harder to actually take the step of doing that, of giving, of opening our hearts in such a way that we literally take care of each other. The word here for truth, indeed and in truth, that word means, it means corresponding to reality. So we take care of each other in deed and in truth. We take care of each other actively. We take care of each other in reality. In reality, we are taking care of each other. We're not just thinking about it. We're not just talking about it. And it doesn't mean like that words aren't like encouraging, that words don't lift up. I mean, we talked about that a few weeks ago, right? Building each other up. Words are important for that. But what he's saying here is that if you truly open up your heart towards your brothers and sisters, then you are going to, in reality, take care of each other. You're going to do what needs to be done. You're going to do those deeds to show that love, to show your open heart, your open-hearted love. And I mean, to be honest, this is something that I feel like I struggle with. You know, I mean, I'm up here talking about it, right? Oh man, I could talk about it all day. You want to talk about it some more after the service? Like, let's talk about it. I'll talk about how we need to take care of each other and how we need to do this and this and how we need to keep our eyes open and, you know, who has needs and let's take care of each other. I mean, I could talk about it all day. But when the rubber hits the road, when it means that I have to actually like lay my life down, I have to lay my inner self down, I have to open up myself, open up my heart, and in reality do something about that, well, that's a different animal. Like that's much harder to do. Maybe for some of you it's not. I think for some people that just naturally wired, gifted that way to just open themselves to like see a need and boom, take care of it, right? But I know some of us really struggle with that. For some of us, it's easier said than done, right? Being that it's Father's Day, I mean, one instance of the way that you all have done this in reality to me, to my family, is over a year ago when we had Nathaniel, and when he was in the hospital for that month with bacterial meningitis, and Jenna was living in the hospital, you all, you loved us. You opened up your hearts to us. Not just in word, not just in talk, not just in, oh, hey, we're praying, you know, not just in encouraging words. You literally, tangibly, in reality, you opened up your hearts to us. With all of the medical bills and the meals and just all the things that with, again, with Jenna living in the hospital essentially for a month, you all opened your hearts to us. What a wonderful example and like powerful for us to think about how that happened. That's what this is talking about. When you see someone in need, then you love them, not just in word, not just in talk, but you love them in deed and in truth. You love them in reality. You open up your heart to them in such a way that you're laying yourself down. You're laying your life down for them. You're actually doing it. Drop down to verse 21. Well, first I'm going to read verse 19. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. I don't know about you, but I know for me, and I've mentioned this before, that my heart, my inner being, like a lot of times struggles a lot with shame, with guilt, with feeling like I'm not doing the right things, with feeling like I'm not measuring up, comparing myself to other people. And so he says, like, I know that some of you struggle with this, right? I know that some of you in your heart, even if you are laying your life down, even if you are opening up, it's so easy for our hearts to condemn us. It's so easy for us to go to that place. And so he says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before him. Because sometimes our heart is going to condemn us, he says, but listen, when your heart condemns you, remember, God is greater than your heart, and he knows it all. He knows what's really going on inside. He knows your inner self. He knows what's happening in your heart. God is greater. He knows it all. And then he says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, which is awesome. Like if our heart does not condemn us, if we're not in doubt, if we're not living in shame, if our heart does not condemn us, then what? Then we have confidence before God. And this word confidence actually also kind of means we have this openness. We have this vulnerability before God. And if our heart is not condemning us, if our heart is not leading us down the path of guilt and of shame and of not measuring up, then when we have our hearts that are strong, then we can come to God with confidence, with openness, with vulnerability. And what does that mean? Well, that means that whatever we ask, then we receive that from him. If we come to him with hearts that are not condemning, then it means whatever we ask, whatever we ask, we receive from him, because an open heart is a connected heart. What I mean by that is that an open heart is one that is aligned. It's one that is aligned with God's heart. It's one that is aligned with God's purposes. It's one that is aligned with God's will. And so if our heart is connected, if our heart is aligned, and if it's not condemning us, then that means that whatever we ask, we receive from him, because what we are going to be asking for is naturally going to be aligned with what his purposes are, with what his will is. And so whatever we ask, we're going to receive. If our heart is open, if our heart is connected, if our heart is aligned. But here's the deal, though. Verse 24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. The only way that we can receive the Spirit that he has given to us, or that he wants to give to us, do you think that he is going to be able to give the Spirit to a person with a closed heart? No. No. Receiving the Spirit, having God abide in us, the Spirit abiding in us, the Spirit that he has given us, it requires an open heart. The Spirit cannot abide in us if we have a closed heart. Why is it so important then that we have this open heart, this willingness to not only kind of lay down our lives, not only give our lives, but also an open heart to receive life, to receive the Spirit, to receive God abiding in us? Why is that important? Well, chapter 4 tells us. Because there's a lot of spirits out there. There's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of false prophets out there that are trying to send a different message. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. There's a lot of spirits out there. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, those who send a different message, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. There are a lot of voices out there sending us a different message. There are a lot of voices out there telling us to not have an open heart, to not lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters, to not have a heart that is open to receive God, to abide in God, to receive the Spirit of God. These voices are saying, no, close your heart. Look, just take care of yourself. That's what it's all about. That's what's most important. Just take care of yourself. Don't worry about other people. Just close your heart and just keep to yourself. Let's get ours, right? Let's not worry about other people's needs. Let's not worry about any of that. Have a closed heart. Just take care of yourself. And John says that in verse 4, there are all these voices, but little children, you are from God. And because you are from God, you have overcome them. You have overcome these other voices. You have overcome these antichrists. You have overcome these false prophets, these other spirits. You have overcome these other voices. Why? Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Remember, that kind of echoes back, that reminds us of verse 19, that when our heart condemns us, we remember that God is greater than our heart. The God who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The God that is in you is greater than the world and its message. The God who is in you is greater than the world and the messages that it is sending to close our heart. The God that is in you is greater than that. Look, the messages that the world is sending are strong. Like, they are very strong. And it's so easy for us to even unknowingly, unwittingly, maybe unintentionally or just out of ignorance, like, just kind of go along. Oh, okay. This is the world saying, okay, I'm just going to go this way. It's so easy. These messages are very strong, but he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. These voices are not ones that are not being heard. These messages that the world is sending, they're the ones that are primarily, predominantly being lived out. The world listens to them. But we don't. We don't listen to the world. We are from God, he says in verse 6. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever knows God, again, this opening up of ourselves, this open heart to receive, this open heart to listen. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. Whoever is not from God has a closed heart. And this is how we know, he says at the end, this is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is how we know the spirit of truth that says that we have an open heart to receive, that in reality we have this truth, and the spirit of error, the spirit of deception, right? This error is this message of deception. This is what the world is sending to us, this message. So if we are trying to know the spirit of truth, if we are trying to open up our hearts, if we are trying to lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters, to open up ourselves and lay ourselves bare, to give life and not be closed-hearted, not take life, then we need to do some business with God probably this morning, because some of us maybe have found ourselves abiding by the world's message, not by the message, not by the spirit of truth, maybe by the spirit of error, right? Some of us have, that message has infiltrated our hearts, and maybe we didn't even realize what was happening. We didn't realize that all of a sudden, like, we find ourselves with a closed heart. And so this morning, as we close and just, like, have some time of reflections, there's some questions, like, are you struggling to feel, you know, connected in community? Are you struggling to feel connected to brothers and sisters? Then ask yourself this question: is my heart open or is my heart closed? Am I giving life? Am I opening up myself? Am I laying my life down? Am I in reality taking care of my brothers and sisters? Or am I not? And maybe if you don't feel connected to the community of faith, to your fellow brothers and sisters, your fellow children of God this morning, then maybe you need to open up your heart. Maybe your heart, you find yourself with a closed heart. Are you struggling to experience just, like, authentic relationship, authentic friendship? Open up your heart. I don't think you're going to experience it with a closed heart. You aren't. But you need it. We were wired for it. God made us that way. He made us to want to be known and to know others. He made us for this relationship, not just with himself. He made us for a relationship with himself that way too, but he made us for this relationship with each other. We've got to redeem that. We've got to open up our heart in order to experience that. Are you struggling to experience the grace and the power of God in your life? Can you not point to the grace of God in your life? Can you not point to how God has poured his grace out upon you? Can you not point to the power of God in your life? Can you not point to examples in your life where you have had to recognize and God has shown himself that he is, one, greater than your heart, and two, greater than the world? That evidence that he is actually in you, the evidence that you have opened up your heart in such a way that you have been able to receive the Spirit of God and the grace and the power that comes with that, that allows you to recognize that he is greater than the world. Open up your heart. Are you, like, sitting here this morning and you've never really heard this stuff before and you've realized, like, oh man, like, yeah, I feel empty. I feel like I am dying inside. You know why that is? That's because you have a closed heart. You have a closed heart. Open up your heart this morning. Open up your life. Be ready to receive all that God wants to offer you this morning. All the grace, all the power, all the redemption, all the reconciliation, all the healing, all that he wants to offer you this morning. Open up your heart to him. Because the way you feel, that emptiness, that feeling of dying inside, yeah, that's true. That's true. But opening up your heart to God, opening up your heart to receive him, and then opening up your heart in laying down your life for others, laying down your life and taking care and having this amazing relationship with fellow brothers and sisters, with fellow believers, that will fill up your heart. You will then have life. You will have that life that you can then give, that life that you can then lay down. Open up your heart and see what happens. An open heart is a connected heart. An open heart is one that is connected to the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says to us, listen, if you open up your heart to me, if you receive me, then I am going to give you more and more and more life so that then you can give away more and more and more life. Man, doesn't it sound, to me it sounds good to have an open heart, right? To receive life, to be able to receive life in such a way that I can give it back out. But if I close my heart, then all of a sudden I have taken life. I've taken life, and I've also taken my own life. I will be dying inside. Let's open up our hearts this morning. Let's open up our hearts to each other. Let's open up our hearts to God to be ready to receive all that he has for us. Let's just take a couple of moments in silence and just reflection. And you've heard what John has wanted to share with us this morning through the Word of God. And maybe God has been, I hope that God has been even just doing his own work inside of you this morning. That you came actually, you knew that something was going to be different, that something was going to be different inside of you this morning. And maybe this is it, that God was slowly, he was planting that seed to open up your heart. So let's take a moment to do that. Let's take a moment to open up our heart. Let's take a moment to tell God that we want to receive his Spirit. We want to receive his grace, his power. We want to receive his truth, that in reality, we want this to be true. It's not just something spiritualized. It's not just something for Sunday. It's not just something that's a piece of our life that we compartmentalize and that we put on the shelf after we leave here today and then we pick it back up again and enter into it again next Sunday. No, this is a connected heart is one that is not compartmentalized. A connected heart is one that is open and open all the time and open in reality that allows us to connect with God. To allow him to do whatever it is that he wants to do. Take a moment in silence and then I'll close us in prayer. God, we are here and we want to have hearts that are open. Maybe, or maybe for some of us, it's that we want to have hearts that are open. Maybe we aren't even there yet. And God, in these moments, we thank you for your grace. Your grace is greater. You are greater. That no matter what messages the world is sending to us to close our hearts, you are sending an even greater, more amazing message. Open up your heart. Open up your heart. Love one another. Lay down your life for your brothers and sisters. Open up your heart to receive the Spirit. Open up your heart to receive the grace and power of God. Thank you for that message of truth this morning, God. That message that in reality changes our life. God, would you continue to speak that message to us? Show us what that looks like. Give us opportunities to see ways in which our open-hearted love can impact, can in reality impact our brothers and sisters. We ask you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.